You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said, now listen carefully. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. The title of today's message is, You're Never Alone. You are never alone. I want you to know when we finish today that when you're by yourself, you're never alone. You're never alone. Turn to Daniel. I want to read a very familiar historical event. We've all heard about this. But I want to look in detail here for a few minutes today. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. We've read about King Nebuchadnezzar making a 90-foot tall gold statue, and he gives the orders for everyone in Babylon to bow down and worship this. Verse 6, anyone refuses is going to be thrown into the blazing furnace. This order from King was a problem for three godly Jewish men that were in a place of leadership in Babylon. See, they obeyed the Ten Commandments. No other gods before me. You don't have any idol worship. You don't bow down to another god. So they didn't bow. They're brought before the king. Let's just refresh ourselves on this event. Chapter 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into that blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into that blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Verse 18. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it very clear to you, your majesty. We will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up, threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement, and he exclaimed to his advisors, Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men, unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Now, we've read this historical event, heard it many times in our lives growing up in children's church, but there's just so much to see here that reveals God to us. So much for us to see. Well, Tim, first of all, the Bible tells us in Romans 13, 1, everyone is to submit to governing authorities. All authority has been placed there by God, so we know you're supposed to submit to governing authorities. That's what Romans 13 tells us. Well, countless places we could turn in Scripture that confirm that, except in the case where an authority goes against God's command. See, governing authority. See, God says you don't bow down and worship God. The governing authority says, bow down and worship this idol. Okay, at that point, you follow God. Now, just footnote here. God's word does not tell us the speed limit out here on Highway 7. So we follow the government's command. I encourage some of you to be a little more attentive to that. But here in Daniel, these three face the situation where the governing authority goes directly against what God's word says to do. So they follow God's word. Now, let's get this. These men following God, obedient to God, was not dependent on God doing anything. I want us to look at this. Verse 17 and 18. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to rescue us. But even if he doesn't. Now, church, you got to see this. Too often we get into this, God, if you will, da 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 da, then I will serve you, then I will give, then I, God, if you'll do this, then I will give this amount of money to the church. God, if you'll do this, then I'll start paying my tithe. See, God, if you'll do this, now I want you to see this, this is vital. We don't need to talk about this matter. We don't even need to talk about this. My God can do this, but even if he doesn't, church, you come to a place in your walk with God that you do what God has told you to do, and then you leave the outcome up to God. You leave the outcome up to God. My job is to pray. My job is to believe God. My job is to stand firm on God's word and to stand in faith. Now listen to this. My responsibility is not the outcome. Now see, we often confuse our job with God's job. So we pray for a healing, stand on the word for health, because that's what God's word has called us to do. See, we pray for financial miracles. We pray for financial blessings. We pray for things it happen, and we do that because that's our job. Then we have a total trust, a total confidence. We live by faith, and we trust God for whatever, however, whenever. See, my part is not to bow down. That's my part, and I'm clear on that. God said, here's your job. You don't bow down to any other idols. And I'm going to live, or I'm going to die doing my part. Now, God, if you shut that furnace off, I won't bow down. Now, God, see, we get into this negotiation with God. If you'll do this, then I'll do that. Church, that's not trusting God. That's not living by faith. That's not standing on his word, and this couldn't be more clear. God's able. God's able to heal me. God's able to bless me financially. If something doesn't happen in my business, God can bring a dog carrying a sack full of money and drop it on my porch. God's able to do, you don't want even to take time for me to tell you what God's able to do. But here's what I'm telling you. My part isn't what he's going to do, not do, whether he's going to do this like I want it or not. My job is to believe him, and I'm not. Be it known to you, I'm not bound down. Be it known to you, I'll be living or I'll be dying, but I will be doing what God has called me to do. See, that's the life that God has called us to live. I can assure you today that being thrown into that furnace was not the outcome that they were praying for. I can assure you they were praying for rain. They were praying for a hailstorm. They were praying for the earth to open up and swallow that furnace. I'm a God. They were praying. I'm telling you, being thrown in that furnace was not the outcome. Oh, God, please let me be thrown into that furnace today. I'm just telling you, that wasn't the outcome they were praying for. But whatever God chooses to do, that's not up to me. Their faith, their belief in God, their trust in God was not dependent on God doing what they wanted God to do, how they wanted God to do it. I love this verse 18. You got to see this. Regardless, if my prayer is answered like I want it to or not, I'm going to be following God's word. I'm going to be following. Be it clear to you. Be it clear to you. Now, here we go. These men did the right thing. They were obedient to God. And they still got thrown into the fire. We got to see this. We just have to get this idea that God will always keep anything bad from happening to us. We got to get that idea out of our head. Because we go to church, this won't ever happen to us. Because we give our money to the church, this won't. See, somehow we got to get that idea out of our head that prayer only works if we get the outcome we wanted. I want you to write this down. The success of us praying is not measured by us producing the outcome that we want. The success of our prayer life is not measured by whether I can produce what I want or not want. God is in control here, not you and I. We've got to understand prayer is ours to do, and the outcome is God's to do. I say it again. Prayer, living, standing in faith is ours. How God, when God chooses to do is God's. And we're going to have to be okay with that. We're going to have to come to a place in our life where we so trust God. We so are convinced of God's hand in our life that we're okay with whatever God chooses to do. I'm going to be caught doing what God told me to do. The success of my time in prayer is not measured by whether I produce the desire that I personally wanted at that time. That's not the way you measure a successful prayer life. God doesn't always bring you out, but he always sees you through. God doesn't always bring you out, but he will always see you through. Jesus' last words on this earth, Matthew 28:20. Be sure of this, I am with you always. Jesus' last words on earth to us, be sure of this, I am with you always. When you're all by yourself, you're never alone. You're never alone. We too often default to God, why did you? God, why didn't this happen? God, where were you when this happened? We got to look at this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. Three men thrown into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar jumps up and he shouts, look, I see four men in there. I see four men in there. Now, I love these words. Unbound, walking around, unharmed. In the fire, thrown in the fire, oftentimes in our life burns off what was keeping us bound. Things in life that keep us bound and we can't seem to get rid of them. We can't seem to get free of them. We can't seem to get ourselves untied. Oftentimes it's the fire that you went through that burns off. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you can say, Tim, the lowest, the worst, the lowest of low point in my life is when God set me free. Is when God set me free. Now, I wish we didn't have to get to that point, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. The things that bind us, the things that restrain us, the things that control us, sometimes being thrown into that fire will be the very thing that burns those off. If you'll remember, Jesus prayed, God, don't let this happen. His words were, let this cup pass from me. God, don't let this happen. Don't let this happen. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to go through this. Jesus prayed, here's what I want to happen. But then what did he say? Nevertheless, help me out. not my will, but yours be done. See, Jesus didn't want to do that. I want this to happen. I want that to happen. I want God to do this. I want God to stop that. I want God to handle this. But nevertheless, be it known to you, O King. See, nevertheless, I'm not going to fall apart and back up on my relationship with God. You know, Jesus is such an example. The week started out with people lining the street. We're talking about thousands. Hosanna, Hosanna, palm branches, dancing. And in 1 week, we're talking 5 days. We're talking just days away. All, we're talking all of those people that lined the streets, all the disciples that lived and ate with him, his best three friends that were disciples, all abandoned him. And he's by himself. He's by himself. In 1 week's time, he is by himself. That's a picture of people. That's a picture of people. I'm telling you, all is good when you're passing out fish and chips. I'm telling you, you got lots of friends around you patting you on the back. Man, you are a great guy. When you're passing out the fish and chips, everybody in your family loves you. Everybody in your family thinks you're the greatest one in the world. But all of a sudden, whenever the chips are down, there's no more chips and dip flowing. I mean, instantly people leave you, drop you like a hot potato, and you'll find yourself by yourself. Today, I want you to know God is not a fair weather friend. God is not a fair weather friend. When everybody's gone, when you're all by yourself, when all of your family is mad at you, when all of your family doesn't want to have, when everybody's gone, you're by yourself. Are you hearing me today? You're never alone. You're never alone. Over and over and over, we read in God's word, he will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. Absolutely. People will. Your best friend will turn on you. Your best friend will leave you. I mean, folks that you thought you could depend on will abandon you in a heartbeat. That's not a reflection of God. Daniel 3, God did not stop the fire. God did not turn off the furnace. In fact, it got 7 times hotter. I find that interesting. The furnace got 7 times hotter. I find this interesting. Verse 20, it wasn't some men. It wasn't some soldiers. Look in verse 20. It was the strongest. Let's just get the baddest of the bad. I mean, have you ever been in those times? Well, I know we all have. It can't get any worse, and it gets 7 times worse. This is as bad as it gets, except it just got 7 times worser. I'm telling you, I thought this was as bad as it could get, and we just gonna turn up the, God, are you, hello, is anybody up there? Now, this is interesting. This is interesting to me. Not only were their prayers not answered, it got worse when they started praying. And we hear this stuff all the time. Well, following God doesn't do me any good. I prayed and this didn't happen. I prayed and that didn't happen. Matter of fact, it just got worse. Tim, the more I prayed, the worse it got. I'm telling you, it's not just some bad news. It's the strongest of the bad news. As bad as it gets. Fat lot of good it does following God. Look what it got me. I prayed for God to stop the fire and he turned it up 7 times worse. Fat lot of good it does following God. God doesn't answer our prayers. After all I did, I've stood for God. I made a stand for God. I prayed for God to turn all that furnace off, and he turned it up. And see, people quit following God. They quit following God. I can't trust a God. I'm not going to follow a God. God's not there. God doesn't hear me. God doesn't answer me. Because they didn't get what they wanted when and at the time and how they wanted it. Jesus himself prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. But just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus says, nevertheless, nevertheless, God, your will be done. We got to change our thinking. We got to stop this kind of talk. It only shows that we don't know God. It only shows that we don't trust God. We all go through fires in life. We all go through fires in life. Life in an imperfect world with imperfect people subjects us to people saying and doing things they should have never done. Should Nebuchadnezzar ever built that idol? Absolutely not. Should he have said, I'm going to throw people into the fire that don't worship him? Absolutely not. Not any of that was right. See, people do things that are wrong. People say things to you that are wrong. People do things that are wrong. People enact things that are wrong. Wrong things happen to you that were wrong from the very beginning. But even facing the fire, we trust God. Even facing that fire, we trust God. Do you follow God today? Do you trust God? Do you submit to God? Or do we just follow him as long as he does exactly what we tell him to do? Verse 21 is very interesting to me. It says, fully dressed in their pants, their turbans, their robes, and their other garments. Why does it have to include that? I mean, why does the Bible have to include that? They're dressed, they got the pants on, their turbans on, their robes on. Why does it have to tell us that? Well, what does that tell us? What does that tell us? That tells us it was a normal day in their life. They got up that day, just like any other day. They put their clothes on, just like they put their clothes on every single day. And they went out to do their daily thing. Here's what I'm telling you. You're not dressed for this event. This event caught you off guard. You weren't dressed for this. You weren't prepared for this. You didn't have your asbestos suit on. I mean, you weren't dressed. I was not ready for that. These guys weren't ready for this happening in their life. They're just driving down the road. Verse 22. The fire's so hot. Look what it says. It kills soldiers. Roaring flames got those people around them. The fire was so hot, it was killing other people. Verse 24, but Nebuchadnezzar jumps up, and here's why I follow God. Right here is why I follow God. Church, it's not because he does what I tell him to do. It's not that God is a genie and I rub on a bottle and I get my every wish. The reason I follow God is right here in verse 24. The reason I follow God is God wastes no time in jumping into the middle of the fire with you. That's why I follow God. That's why I get it. This isn't what I prayed for. This was not the outcome that I was looking for. This is not what I think God should have done. What God should have done is wiped out Nebuchadnezzar and all those people and left me alone. See, what God should have done was not what happened. But in the hottest fire, when nobody else is around you, in your loneliest hour, you're all by yourself and you're in the fire, you're never in the fire alone. I love this. It says, unbound and unharmed. Why do I follow God? Because I'll come out of the fires of life unharmed by them. I'll come out of the difficulties of life unsinged by them. Why do I follow God? Because he does what I tell him to do? No, no. I follow God because whatever I go through, I'm going to come out of that thing. I won't even smell like smoke. God will be in there with me. Devil, I got to let you know something today. You throw me in the fire, you need to know this. I'm not going to be in there alone. I'm not going to be in there alone. You can throw me in that fire, but I won't be in there alone. And when I walk out, it'll be a testimony to everybody around me that the fire did not burn me. And that's what produces a change in other people's lives. It wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego preaching a sermon. It wasn't them sitting people down and telling them the Ten Commandments. It wasn't them sitting people down and saying, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe God. What turned people's lives around is the bystanders in life watching you go through a fire and come out of that fire, and you are not harmed. You're not bound. You're set free. Come on, are you hearing this? You understand what God's plan is for you. The fire does not change us. It doesn't scorch us. The only thing it did is burned off the things that were holding me up. God's so much bigger than I am. God's so much smarter than I am. God sees the beginning from the end. And that's a view of life that I cannot see. I cannot see the beginning from the end. God has a view that's impossible for me to see. That's why I have to trust God. My job is to pray. My job is to believe God. My job is to stand on the word. But I've got to trust God with the outcomes in life, because on the same morning I am praying for it to rain on my hay crop, the guy across the street is saying, God, I got a birthday party for my kid. I'm asking you to not let it rain today. God is big enough to figure all that out. And I'm not going to be mad at God because he let it rain. I'm not going to be mad at God because he didn't let it rain. What I'm going to do is say, God, I trust you. I need rain for my hay crop. I'm letting you know I need rain for my hay crop, but I'm believing you. If all of my hay burns smooth, slap dab up, you'll feed my cows another way. My trust is in you. My confidence in you. And I got to let God make the decision on the rain and when and where and how. See, the reason I follow God is God is an all-knowing, all-powerful. When I'm by myself, I'm never alone. That's why I serve God. We're too close right here to chapter 6. Flip over there real quick. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officials, verse 3. Because Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over this entire empire. Wow, what a life. What a life. Very interesting that I'm preaching this today, and I've been working on this sermon for weeks. Very interesting I'm preaching this today, right after our president's announcement yesterday. Daniel proved himself more capable, and because of his great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Verse 4. When the other administrators and high officials began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, immediately after the president's announcement, the other guys are going to start looking for some fault that they can get him with. Let's find some fault in Daniel. Look at this. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. It's got them running scared right now. We can't find anything to criticize or condemn this lady about. He's faithful, he's responsible, and completely trustworthy. What a life. What a life. Are you ready? This gets really, really interesting. I just couldn't believe this as I was watching this unfold yesterday. Verse 5. I want you to see this. Verse 5. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Are y'all hearing what they say they're going to attack this lady on? I mean, they're saying they're going to go after her religious stand. Are you kidding me? Was the Bible written this morning or what? The tendency, the temptations, the works of the devil never change. Right here they are. Couldn't find anything to get them on, so let's go after this appointment's religious beliefs. Verse 16. After all, Daniel, and you couldn't find any fault with this guy. Golly, verse 16, he's thrown in the lion's den. Is that where our Supreme Court nominee is going to be? I mean, thrown in the lion's den. That's where you and I are on a daily basis. Well, then let me attack your religion. At the workplace, let me attack your religion. Let me make sure that you're not exercising your freedom of religion in this workplace. Let me make sure you don't have any scriptures posted on your office wall. Let me make sure, whoa, we're free of religion. Take that down. You can't post a scripture in your classroom. You school teachers, you can't have a religion. You can't have a scripture on your wall. Let's attack people's religion. Wow. Now here's Daniel. You talk about an opportunity to be mad at God. You talk about an opportunity to question God. You talk about an opportunity to blame God. But here's what Daniel knows. When you're by yourself, you're never alone. Verse 22, God sends an angel. Yeah, he's in the lion's den. That prayer was not answered, but he's not in there alone. Yes, they were in the fiery furnace. That prayer wasn't answered, but they're not in there alone. The fire couldn't burn them, and the lions couldn't eat them. Because even when they're by themselves, they're never alone. Daniel prayed, still thrown in the lion's den. Wasn't the outcome that he was looking for. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they prayed. Still in the fiery furnace, seven times hotter. That's not the outcome they were looking for. Church, here's what I want you to know today. You never measure your success in prayer by if you get the outcome that you wanted. Outcomes are too far above our ability to comprehend. Today, I'm not sure what you're praying for. Today, I'm not sure even what your outcome will be. But here's what I'm telling you today. You're never alone. Y'all stand with me. Father God, we worship you today, not because you are a genie that we can rub a bottle and get what we want every time we want it, anytime we want it, but we worship you and we honor you today because you never leave us or forsake us. And regardless of what in life we go through, you're always there with us. God, we walk through the fires of life. We walk through the lion's dens in life. We walk through the difficulties, the misunderstandings, the disappointments, the loss, the hurt, the pain. We walk through our life with awareness that we are always, always hand in hand with you. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.